is offering fundraisers twice a year. That is designed to help offset any unexpected failures. And, you know, from what I understand, one of the transmitters, I don't know if that's the correct term, something very integral in the transmission of the radio broadcast, had been very faithful in service for a long, long period of time. And even though there was a backup, that decided that it was retired and going to not function. And so if you are not able to get a clear signal, I do want to tell you there are a couple of different ways that you can listen. And you don't have, if the signal is not strong as it was, until they get all of that worked out, they may have it worked out by now. Only your feedback tells us that. There are two different ways that you can listen, and that is through the TuneIn app, TuneIn. It's the TuneIn radio app, and you can search for WMIE-FM, and it will be a few seconds delayed from what the normal signal is, but you can find the radio signal there, and it comes in very clear. The other way to avail yourself of that, if you do not have a smartphone where you can download the TuneIn app or have the TuneIn app on your computer, is you can log on. If you have internet access to WMIEFM.com, scroll all the way down to the bottom. You can hit listen live, and you can hear just as well on that. And so the reason that I tell you that is I was recently visiting with one of our church folks. She was in the hospital, and she's like, "I'm missing the radio program." She wasn't thrilled about that. And I said, "Well, here's the way that you can listen to it." And I was telling her one way, and I said, "Wait a minute, there's another way," because she ended up in the hospital unexpectedly. And so she didn't have all the information she needed. And I said, "Wait a minute, here's how you can do it." And that is WMIEFM.com. And she was very happy with that information. I pray that it will be a blessing to you. So we are going back to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, we should be concluding with this portion of scripture today. We're going to go through verses 14 through 19. And there it says this: "Therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men, who rule this people who are in Jerusalem. Because you have said, 'We have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves.' Therefore, thus says the Lord God, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you, for morning by morning it will pass over, and by day and by night, it will be a terror just to understand the report." So, the first thing I want to start off telling you today is this, that we often view injustice as something that happens against humanity. But the greatest injustice is when we sin against God, when we accept His blessings, we walk in, His blessings, but we do not walk in obedience. Sin is an injustice to a just and holy God, to a God who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For us not to love and obey and revere Him, that is an injustice of the highest order. And so we need to kind of change the way that we filter the concept of justice and injustice, more away from the humanity side of it to the spiritual aspect. What is this? How am I responding to the blessings of God, to the promises of God, to the favor of God. I know a lot of people that like to walk in quote unquote grace, and they take God's favor and his blessings, and then they trample all over them with their lifestyle and say, well, you know, we're living in a new era. It's an era with a lower standard. And I don't believe that. I believe that grace raised the standard. I don't believe grace lowered the standard of obedience. I believe it elevated it. Robert Morris has a great teaching on that. I've preached these things for years, and my wife and I, we watch him at night a lot of times, and it's been so encouraging, because I'll be sitting there and I say, oh my, I believe he's getting ready to say this. I haven't ever heard anybody say this but me. And so it's been greatly encouraging to hear some of the truths that God has laid upon my heart coming out of another person's mouth, not because it's a voice of information, but it's a voice of confirmation. So here in this passage, we've talked about, because they wouldn't do it God's way, that life to them was precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That's what we have been talking about. And it says that the people who were influential, that they were powerful, that they were not living in terror, even though the enemy was beating down at the gate, because they said, you know what? We have entered into a covenant with death. We've entered into a covenant with hell. We've entered into a covenant with the oppressor, that when everything shakes out, when all is said and done, we're not going to be impacted. We're not going to be influenced. It's only going to be those without means, those who are not influential, those who are not powerful. Those are the only people that are going to be impacted. So you'll see a lot of times this same mindset when a person is getting fired from one of these stock exchange traded companies, and many times they're saying, you know, we're underperforming, and as part of my failure as a leader, I am going to get compensated with hundreds of millions of dollars. That's, you know, what's going to take place. And the people who are out there actually doing the work, they're the ones whose stores get closed, and they ended up suffering the side effects. And so people say, I've entered into a covenant, and it's not going to impact me. And I want you to know that's an injustice. Leaders are not there to benefit themselves. Pastors are not there just to benefit themselves. Pastors are there to serve the flock that God has entrusted to them. As big or as little as that may be, our responsibility is to be the under-shepherd, as he is the chief shepherd, and to care for the flock. So we'll talk about another passage in a few days and talk about how injustice looks in various aspects of that. It's also in Isaiah. But for right now, let's just say that there are people who calm themselves, reassure themselves that everything is going to be all right because they've made a covenant with death. Now, let me take you down to verse 18. And God says this, your covenant with death will be annulled. Your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you, for morning by morning it will pass over, and by day and by night it will be a terror, just to understand the report. What Isaiah prophesies is this. You've got false confidence in the covenants, the agreements, the treaties that you have made, and instead you are going to be devastated and destroyed in the process. We need to hear what God has to say in between that. I don't ever want to be walking in covenant with death. I want to be walking in covenant with God, because his is a covenant of life, not death. I don't want to be walking in a covenant of hell. I want to be walking in a covenant with heaven. That's who I want. I want to be walking in covenant with the one who's not just going to save me, but is able to save everybody. So, what takes place between verses 14 and 15 and verse 18 and 19. Well, God speaks. God speaks. Whenever God speaks, you know that what you're getting ready to hear is going to be something that is just, it is true, it is righteous, and it is beneficial. Now, I have to issue full disclosure about this particular passage because whenever I run across this passage in my Bible, I have flashbacks. I have flashbacks to the 1980s with contemporary Christian music, and there was a gentleman by the name of Leon Patillo who recorded a song. He had been with a group called Santana, got radically saved, and he became a contemporary Christian artist, and he wrote a song called Cornerstone. And so whenever I come to this passage, I can't help but to have that melody go through my head. So if I start singing, it won't last long. But I'm going to try real hard to refrain from doing that because you didn't tune into this radio program to be tortured by my voice. But this is what God says. Therefore, this is verse 16, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. So what God is saying is in the midst of these people making covenants that they shouldn't be making covenants, and all of the chaos and all of the unclean tables and all of that sort of stuff, he says, I'm going to establish a foundation. It is a chief cornerstone, a precious cornerstone. A cornerstone was what you made sure that you had lined up exactly where you wanted it because it was going to be the basis from which you formed the rest of the structure. You wanted it to be not only perfectly positioned as far as north, south, east, and west, but you wanted it to be perfectly situated, formed, placed as far as being square, level, upright. You didn't want it leaning one direction or the other. The structure of the entire building, the soundness of the structure itself depended upon this chief cornerstone, this precious cornerstone. And so it is something for us to behold. Behold, I lay in Zion, this is God speaking, a stone for a foundation. So I pray that the foundation of your life, every aspect of your life, is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. So I know a lot of people whose foundation is upon their appearance. I know people whose foundation is upon their finance. I know people whose foundation is upon their job. I know people whose foundation is upon their hobbies. But the only solid foundation is Jesus Christ. It's the only solid foundation. And so it's described as a foundational stone, a tried stone. You want to make sure that it is going to be able to handle the stress of the structure. You don't want it crumbling. You want something that is solid. You don't want something that has the appearance of soundness, but it doesn't have the depth of soundness. You know, you can see this in television commercials where a person lifts up a whole bunch of weight only to discover that it's just a prop, that it has the external features of something that is quite substantial in weight, but it doesn't really have the internal structure or the mass that you would think that that would have. So ours is a stone that has been tested. That's what happened when Jesus went out into the wilderness. That's what happened when Jesus was on trial before the high priest and they could find no fault with him. That's what happened when he was on trial with Pilate. They literally filleted his body and they could find no fault with him, not in what he said, not in what he did. They couldn't find any fault. He's a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, and he is a sure foundation. It says, whoever believes will not act hastily. Now, I want to try and spare you some of my heartache through the years. And let you know that this passage says, whoever believes will not act hastily. Through the years, I have felt people pressure, intimidate. Sometimes that person that was pressuring, intimidating was me. Sometimes it was other people. And they would try and say, if you do not act now, this offer is going to expire in 30 seconds. Well, then it's just going to have to expire. I had a pastor one time, he made a statement in one of his sermons. He said, my wife has saved us so much money, she's almost bankrupted us. And I don't think that was the case. I think that, that they were very secure financially. I also can tell you this, when he passed away, his son-in-law said, I can't tell you how many times I ended up going to his house and some family in need did not have a bed, and he would have us come to his house, take a bed out of his house, many times his own, and take that to a family that needed something to sleep on. So it was not about the materialism for him. But the point of why I told you that story is many times they talk about a sale, it's only going to last a certain period of time. And once this sale is over, it's going back up to this price here. And sometimes that may be true. But one of the things that I have discovered is that if I have to make a hasty decision, a rash decision, then I don't have the opportunity to spend it with God and say, God, what do you want me to do with this opportunity? So the way that I came to Florida was I was presented with a job offer here while I was living in a different region of the country. And I told them, I said, let me pray about them. Now you got to understand, this wasn't a Christian company. It wasn't a church. And so I said, let me pray about it. And they said, well, how long do you need to pray about it? And I said, 24 hours ought to be enough. And said, okay, we'll talk tomorrow. And I find that reasonable people will be willing to give you time to hear from heaven. I want to make the best decisions I can through what the Word of God says, through the multitude of counselors that God has blessed me with. And so today, I want to tell you that justice is not in a hurry. Justice wants you to know what the Word of God says and what the God of the Word has to say. So it says this, and also, okay, so not only is he going to lay a cornerstone, but he says, and also I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. Now, in the context of what he is describing here, he is dealing with people who were making they were dealing in injustice. They were trying to act in a manner of self-preservation. And he said, let me tell you how I'm going to act. I'm going to stretch out a measuring line. I'm going to establish a plumb line. And we're going to find out who stands and who doesn't. And so many times political insiders think they will be the ones that survive. In actuality, they're the ones that suffer the consequences because they're the ones that have done injustice. Hear me. God is a just God. God is not looking to substantiate. God is not looking to approve of injustice in any form, any variety. We're talking about He is a spiritual God who is looking to implement spiritual justice throughout the spectrum of society. It is a spiritual issue. It flows from a relationship with the foundation stone of Jesus Christ. So it says here, I will make justice the measuring line, righteousness the plummet. The plummet, according to my research, was that weight that dangles on the bottom of a plumb line that shows you what is upright, what is vertical, whether it is leaning, the wall as you structure it, whether it's leaning in or leaning out or leaning to the left or leaning to the right, that plumb line is what guides you all the way up. Now, I'm not a mason. I'm not a block mason. I've never done anything like this. I don't ever want to do anything like this. I want to leave this type of work to the experts. Because where I came from before I moved to Florida, there was a church out there. And they decided that they were going to build a church out in the middle of the country. And it wasn't the church I attended. But the pastor showed me, he said, this evangelist went around and he raised money for this particular church building, and he was not into construction. He didn't know the first thing about construction. So they built a wall, and the storm came, and the wall fell. And so he went around, and he raised a bunch more money, and he built the wall a second time, and a storm came, and it knocked the wall down, and they never did build that church there. There was another church that was right down the road that for decades and decades and decades preached the Word of God, and it stood in agreement with the Word. It stood anchored to the Word, plumb to the Word, and they encouraged people to live in holiness and righteousness and justice. So that's what God said that he was going to do. When he said that, verse number 20 or 17 says, the hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. And then he goes on to talk about the covenant of death being annulled and all of that sort of stuff. You see, the storm will come. In the parable, the house built on the sand and the house that's built on the rock, the storm comes both places. Now, I can tell you one of the things that we discovered about our house, we've been there a long time, and that in 2009, there was a serious, serious storm that came the week of high school graduation. And we came home from Wednesday night, and we found that we had a roof leak. And so that's how I remember what week and year it was. But one of the things that we didn't realize when we bought the house was that our house was at a point in the road that it was higher in elevation than the houses all the way to the end of the road. And we found that even though some of those houses had problems, we stayed above the deluge backup, if you would. So I want to encourage you, don't conduct yourself in a manner where you're only looking out for yourself. Operate in justice. If you're a person of authority, don't just look out for your own self-interest. look out for everybody's interest. Operate your business in godly principles, and God will make sure that righteousness and justice are a trademark. And I just can't help myself. I'm sorry. So here's Bob Arthur's attempt at a Leon Patillo song from the 1980s. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. And I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth shall not make haste. And that's about all the singing I'm going to get. It goes on to talk about Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father. It's a great song. You know, one of the things that we don't do in Christian music is once a song passes from the hit list, we tend to forget all about it and don't ever go back and revisit them. But I'm telling you, there have been some great songs through the years that brought a lot of life and blessing to the body of Christ. Whatever you do today, go out and make sure that you spend time with God so that he gives you his perspective of things that are right, things that are just, things that he wants you to do. And I tell you what, you'll be a blessing. You'll go around with a song in your heart that will be a blessing to others. And others will say, man, I love being around them. They treat people the same no matter where they are, because we all want to treat people the way that we want others to treat us. And I'm thankful for the way that Jesus treats me as well. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.